I know exactly what the hurt version of me is. I'm so scared to know what the healed version of me is.
Mental health is a lie.
So let's name the elephants in the room and make some room. So heal, and you will vibrate on the level of what you desire, not where you are.
You've been through a lot, bro. Right? You've been through war, yeah. You know, trauma, loss.
If you are not healing, then you are helping, and you're helping it by hiding it, and you're hiding it by not naming it. The reason why friendships, relationships, business partnerships crash is because if you want the love, if you want the relationship, if you want the friendship, that's the price.
Wait, I know you want to watch this next video, but listen, if you are an entrepreneur, business coach, business consultant, or a small business owner who has a story and wants to learn how to create multiple streams of income from your story, I need you to text me right now, my book, to 646-687-4152. That is my personal number. I have been an author for over 12 years. I've written 10 books. Four of them have been bestsellers, and I've sold over 100,000 books, but I've also helped a lot of my clients take their expertise and put it into a story, then create multiple streams of income from that. So I want to help you do the same thing. So text my book to 646-687-4152. All right, let's go back to the video. All right, so welcome to another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Today's guest is a force of transformation, a Marine Corps veteran, certified psychotherapist, emotional intelligence coach, and one of the most powerful voices disrupting the conversation around healing. He's the creator of the Backpack of Burdens Experience, the founder of Wealthy Retreats, and the visionary behind a bold new movement that is shaking up everything you thought you knew about mental health. His message? Mental health is a lie, but not the way you think. From war zones in Afghanistan to emotional landmines in our everyday relationships, he walks through fire, literally and figuratively, and came back with a mission to help people heal from the inside out without staying stuck in a diagnosis. He's here to help you recognize, reframe, and release what's holding you back. And he's doing it through books, retreats, courses, and the movement called Whole. We heal out loud every day. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for my brother, Byron Hopkins.
Hey, that's the best intro I ever had.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Man. Take you around me, man. Yes, sir. That's, yes, that was sir, amazing. Man. I appreciate the love.
Man, I appreciate what you do. And who you are, because when we think about this mental health movement, when we think about your approach to wellness, I think it's different. I think it's needed. I think it's something that we haven't seen in a very, very long time. It's specifically for our community. Like it's so needed in our community. And so I want to start, before we jump into your background and who you are, in your words, who is Byron Hopkins?
Just a man. Yeah. Just here to help and serve the people. Yeah. Again, like you said, I'm a Marine. I'm a teacher. I'm a servant. Mm-hmm. So I just really want to be here for us, mm-hmm. not just our community. Because a lot of problems that we have, like you're saying, for mental health isn't just a black or a white thing. It's a global thing. But especially in our community, yeah. we are not taught to focus on emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, when we start talking about emotions, especially men, they're like, nah, we cool. Mm-hmm. Right. So Byron Hopkins is just here to serve. Yeah. I'm a servant of the people, and I just want to help every single person grow through what they go through.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there's things in life that we push down, or we just ignore, or we drink it away, we smoke it away. And, yeah. you know, we have all these deterrents mm-hmm. and then you come back around and everywhere you go, there you are. So let's deal with it now. That way we have these men and women that are more whole and more healed mm-hmm. moving forward. A more healed person heals their home. That home that's healed heals the community. Mm-hmm. The community that's healed heals the city. That city that's healed, you know, it just keeps going on and on and on.
Yeah.
And it sounds super woo-woo, but you heal one person, you change one person's life, you don't know what that's going to affect. So that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, man, I love that. How'd you become a psychotherapist? How'd you get into Marines? You know, word in the streets. You know, you grew up in, you know, your parents are doctors. You grew up in a, you know, great family structure. No. You know, like what's the story?
That sound like Theo Huxtable. R.I.P. my man Malcolm. But it really came from a need.
Yeah.
This version of me, this is what I needed when I was younger. Mm. So this is the version, and this is also the version I needed as an adult as well, too. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in L.A., half Colorado. Mm-hmm. That's why you don't hear too much of the L.A. You're a little bit more that Colorado than L.A. Yeah. But growing up in the hood, mm-hmm. I'm the only person in my family that's in the military, in the Marine Corps, mm-hmm. like only cousins, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm the only person that graduated college. Mm-hmm. I'm the only person that talks and acts like me mm-hmm. in my immediate family. In my entire family. Mm. So to be different, I used books. Mm. I jumped into knowledge early. I was the only kid. I snuck out in high school to go see Les Brown speak, and that changed my life. Mm. And I was like, whoa, this dude's moving the whole crowd. Yeah. He was like, who's the one I'm gonna touch? I'm like, I'm the one, Les. Then I had to go back to school. But really growing up in LA and Colorado, I got to see two different dichotomies. I'm like, whoa, we're in the hood. We in Crenshaw. We in Compton. Mm. My whole family gangbanging everybody. Like, you call them right now. I was like, what's good, homie? All of that. And I was like, oh, Byron O'Square Bear over here. I was like, yeah. And it took me so long to embrace what I was and who I am.
Yeah.
I like comic books and anime and things like that. I was like, shout out to the Huxtables, because that's what made me see further than my circumstances.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why I teach the way I teach and the things that I teach on, is because when I go and I speak at high schools, I speak at colleges, and I see these young athletes and these young people, and it's just like they can only see what's in front of them or what's on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at these things, you can go, okay, well, that's it. I use comic books and TGI Friday to say, oh, I could be Uncle Phil. I could, oh, okay. Oh, I can do that too. Mm-hmm. And then my favorite comic book was like X-Men, because they were different, mm-hmm. and they just found their own academy and was like, yo, you can do that too. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm on a journey to find these other X-Men. Mm-hmm. I'm on a journey to find... For a long time, I was chasing Uncle Phil and Bill Cosby. Yeah. Heathcliff Huxtable, yeah. Not Bill Cosby. Let's correct that.
Yeah.
But for so long, I'm on a journey to find Uncle Phil until I found out, like, I'm Uncle Phil.
Mm.
Oh, okay. I'm that person that can bring this knowledge and that comfort and that safety and that love.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, how else can I fix this? And just getting more knowledge coming out of the Marine Corps, which shout out to the Marine Corps, but they don't teach you emotion.
Right.
They will teach us that we are the best fighting force in America. Mm. You are the best killers in the world. Mm. Nobody can stop you. You're amazing. They give us 3 months of that. That's why our boot camp is the longest. Mm. So after the 3 months, it's like, okay, I'm training. I'm doing my thing. I know how to shoot. Mm. I know how to do all these things. I'm an expert rifleman. I've never shot a weapon in my life. Mm. Even growing it up in L.A., my family didn't let me. So it's just like, okay. Then when you get out, I was like, okay, there's going to be 3 months of training before you get out. No. It's like 2 weeks of don't yell at civilians and don't cuss at them and try not to drink as much. See you later.
Wow. So you were programmed to be a killer,
yeah,
but not deprogrammed to be a civilian.
Exactly. Mm. There's no transition program on how to be normal again, because you have all these things. And when you go to Afghanistan, I was 24. Mm. I had my 24th birthday in Afghanistan.
Wow.
And I was like, well, this is different.
Yeah, yeah.
But you see certain things and you appreciate certain things. You can watch a fellow Marine, his truck gets blown up. And you're like, all right, cool. I hope he's good. Mm. And that's just normal.
Wow.
But it's desensitized even back here in the States too, where we see so many things on social media and it's normal.
Right.
And your emotions aren't there and it's nothing else. All right, let's keep it moving. Mm. But for me to look at those things and come back, and we call this garrison here in America. This is garrison. Mm. So we lost more people coming back here in garrison than we did when we were in Afghanistan.
Wow.
So coming back here, it's self-inflicted gunshot wounds. It's DUIs. It's drinking. It's my wife cheated on me. It's all these things that you don't know what to do.
Right.
So especially for our military, looking at that and having that base of, this is the most extreme I've ever been.
Yeah.
This is the most extreme things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
How do we take it on the other end of it and say, let's calm these people down. Let's calm myself down.
Right.
Because the Marine Corps did one thing. It showed me the highest version of me on every level.
Right.
Times 10 on every single level.
Right.
And then it's like, what's the drop off for that? Mm-hmm. And a lot of my brothers and sisters in the military, they lose purpose when they get out. And it's like, well, what do I do now? I'm important. I'm protecting America. Mm-hmm. I'm doing all these things. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like, okay, now I'm depressed. I'm going to smoke. I'm going to drink. I'm going to take some pills.
Right.
A lot of us are hurt. I got blown up and I had 3 different knee surgeries.
Wow.
Yeah, I got ACL, PCL, MCL, back, flat feet, everything. Yep. But it's like there's emotions attached to that that you hold in your body. Yeah. There's certain smells or certain sounds that I can hear. Mm. And I'm like, it takes you back. Wow. But in order for me to be the person I am here, I had to create a different person and leave him in Afghanistan.
Right.
If I didn't, he would have came back with me. And that person can't function in normal reality because we're asked to do things over there that you can't do in America that you're not supposed to do.
Wow. Yeah.
So becoming a psychotherapist was out of a necessity. It was out of a need.
Yeah.
I wanted to understand more of myself, the people around me, how I grew up. You know, growing up in L.A., it was like my parents are doing this. I didn't see a great loving household unless it was on TV. And that's anybody in my family. And it's just normal. And I'm like, why is he doing that? Why am I making these decisions? And I just started asking myself more questions. And I just happened upon psychotherapy. And I was like, this is good. I like this. This isn't right. It isn't sitting on the couch like, let me talk to you about my feels. Like, nah, I like psychotherapy because I can give you actual tools.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to prescribe anybody anything anyway because I can't prescribe you things.
Right.
But I can give you actual tools and give you an opinion.
Yep.
But I can give you tools and say, hey, it sounds like this. Have you tried this? These are practical things that I can give you to say, hey, maybe this will help. I see this. Maybe this will help. So it's more like this, like what we're doing, other than laying on a couch and somebody just spilling everything to you.
Yeah.
Because I can't necessarily help you that way. I can just listen.
Right.
I want to help.
Right. Right. That's powerful. You start, you open your book with a really bold statement. mental health is a lie. What do you mean by that?
Exactly what it says. Because that's what we've been taught. Now, before everyone attacks me, before everyone goes crazy, and it says that it's, you know, there's different positions on mental health.
Yeah.
We have to think about it as, okay, so if you have anxiety, if you have depression, these are mental health issues, but you don't think these things. If you're depressed, I'm not thinking depression.
Right.
I feel depressed.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking anxious thoughts all the time. I'm feeling anxious. Now, those thoughts come along with it, but at the time, in the moment, you're feeling these things. I was depressed. I didn't know. I gained like 50 pounds after I got a Marine. I was 280 pounds. I'm 6'5". That's a lot for my body. I'm just sitting there depressed, and I didn't even realize it. Until one day I figured out I wasn't happy. Nothing made me happy.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here like watching TV and there's nothing. It's just blank. I was like, oh, this is what depression felt. It felt like a heavy blanket every single day that I'm walking out of the house with.
Wow.
So looking at that and going, oh, I feel these things, not even knowing that that's what started me on the path where I'm going, this is misdiagnosed mental health, because especially for us, they go PTSD for military, and you know, black people in the hood got PTSD.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
You're in New York, LA, there's certain things that you know and that you feel that you react to, and your body's reacting, your emotions, you're feeling these things. This isn't just a thought, like you're not thinking, it's just an automatic reaction. Like, why did you do this? I don't know, it's a reflex. That's an emotional reflex because your body is remembering, your body is keeping the score. Your body knows, hey, when I feel this, this is how we act. Oh, okay. Awesome. Because that's why I open books saying, yo, mental health is a lie.
Yeah.
I'll prove it.
Right.
I promise you, I'll prove it.
Right.
Number one, you know 70% of your thoughts aren't thoughts, they're emotional thoughts all day long. So if 70% of your thoughts are emotional, then you have to think, well, what am I feeling? You're feeling old thoughts. You're feeling old feelings. You're feeling things that were passed down to you from your parents, from your upbringing, from all these things. So if 70% of my thoughts aren't mental, they're emotional, I'm thinking and feeling emotionally, maybe I should tap into these things and go, oh, so maybe it's not mental health. Maybe I need to feel different. And that's why I focus on emotional intelligence, and I'm an emotional intelligence practitioner, meaning I can teach you how to be more balanced in your emotions, is saying, wait a minute, you have feelings, you have emotions, how do I handle my emotions? That's all EQ is. How do I handle my emotions? How do I handle your emotions? How do I balance them in a public kind of standing to where it's like, hey, do I freak out? Somebody cut me off and driving here like, yo, do I crash out on them real quick?
Right.
No, it's not that serious.
Yeah.
It's really not. But once you master those things and have balance to where I have emotions, I know what to do with them. Okay. And I know how to handle you to where I go, if you say something crazy to me online, I ain't got to react to you.
Right.
You don't have to show up to every argument that you're invited to. I'm not RSVPing to this drama. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
No, that's powerful. That's powerful. Talk a little bit. I mean, you talked earlier about like, you know, the transition, right, from, you know, the military to civilian life. You've been through a lot, bro. Right? You've been through war, yeah. You know, trauma, loss. But you're still, despite that, right? You're still mm-hmm. in the mode of service. You're still doing retreats, coaching, books. And you talk a little bit about that you know why you're having, you know, why you're on the mission to heal because of, you know, out of necessity. But what's the ultimate driver, you know, being that you've been through all of that stuff? Like, what's the ultimate thing that's driving you to do this work?
That's a great question. I think for me, my number one thing is, I wanted to heal me first, and I got sick of bleeding on people who didn't cut me. Mm. And I felt like that's a lot of people. If I know for myself, if I can stop putting Band-Aids over gunshot wounds, I know what it did for me. Mm. What can I do for everyone else? How can I serve people? Mm. What is the greatest service I can give everyone? Because if I'm looking at myself and I'm going, like you said, I've gone through a lot. Right. I've gone through a lot. Yeah. And even in my adult years, I've gone through a lot of things. And what keeps me motivated is saying, if I can heal through all of my things and all the people that I coach, I have 7-8-figure making clients.
Yeah.
I have sports clients. I have a lot of people that I coach one-on-one and seeing the difference between everybody is just, hey, how do I not just cope, but how do I grow through these things that I'm responding, whether it's relationships, whether it's people, you know, a lot of people think like even for yourself and your wife, you're not in a relationship with her. You're in a relationship with her nervous system. Mm. I'm reacting to you. Mm. Well, why are you reacting this way? Mm-hmm. That's what I like to find out is the why. There's always a pinch to the ouch. Mm-hmm. We only see the ouch. Mm-hmm. What was the pinch back there? So you're going and stepping on these landmines and these trauma triggers that people have. And it may look like somebody crashing out online or saying something crazy. Or it might just look like somebody walking in and shooting up a place because they don't know how to control and feel a certain way. So I would like to, sounds woo-woo, but I would like to just heal one person at a time, and it just grows exponentially to where you're just like, okay, if we all knew how to balance ourselves emotionally, maybe some of us wouldn't be in the positions that we are in. Maybe a lot of my family members wouldn't be sitting in jail for life for things that take a second, you know, and I always say, do not make a long-term decision on a temporary emotion. Mm. Take a second, breathe, it will pass. Mm. So that is a driving force for me because I know what it's done for me and I just get excited. Like, I know I can help everybody else too, you know, but I can only help the people who want to be helped, of course. But this is something that I am extremely passionate about. It's an obsession to where I know what it's doing for me.
Yeah.
And the more I'm growing, the more knowledge I get every day, the more I can help.
And you know, you talked earlier about having clients, you know, 8-figure, 9-figure, right? What is the biggest misconception that you would say that you've noticed, you know, as a pattern when dealing with those high net worth and high income earning individuals?
Yeah, I mean, one I can say, I know a lot of people say it's like, money cures everything. Mm-hmm. It's not more money, more problems. It's more money, more managing because there is survivor remorse. Mm. You know, there's survivor's remorse for, I got this money. I got to bring everybody in the hood with me, especially for us. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, you got $1 million. You got all your problems solved. Mm. No.
Right.
So I have now an accountant. Yep. I've got a lawyer. Yep. I've got all these people to pay. And then I got to make sure people aren't robbing me. Mm-hmm. And then also, I haven't healed yet. Mm-hmm. So these people that I'm working with, it's not on major things. It's one person, how to celebrate. Mm. I don't know what to celebrate.
Yeah.
I'm getting all this money, you know, it's cool. I'm just going to pass by. It doesn't feel like anything because you haven't celebrated it. You haven't celebrated yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't celebrate yourself, everything's going to be connected to money. There is a younger version of you that was poor, that was in the hood, that wanted the life that you live right now. Mm-hmm. You're not celebrating for grown up you right now. Mm. You are celebrating that child. You're celebrating that teenager that dreamed of being you.
Yeah.
Oh man, I was dying to get to you and you never stopped and said, hey, we made it. We did it.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Wow. Yeah. Celebrate yourself and give your body reasons to feel great to celebrate because you'll continue chasing these milestones. Mm. And then once you hit them, it's just empty.
Yeah.
Don't chase the milestone. Chase the feeling. How do I feel with this? Stop. Does this make me happy?
Yeah.
Why am I doing it then? Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing this because it makes me happy. Mm. So when I have these, I have athletes as well too, they've won championships and don't feel anything. because you've never gone back and say, why am I actually doing this?
Yeah.
Who am I doing this for? Because if you're doing it for your family, if you're doing it for your friends, if you're doing it for everybody other than you, then it's going to continue to be hollow.
Yeah.
It's going to continue to be nothing
yeah.
until you go back and say, I remember shooting basketball in my backyard at 8 years old on a court that I drew on, and I was imagining these moments. Then go back and feel that.
Yeah.
You did it.
Yeah.
Tap yourself on the back, because everybody's in this grind culture
yeah.
to where it's like, yeah, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. Look up the definition of grinding.
Mm.
That is wearing down on yourself.
Mm.
Don't grind. Right. You can hustle. Don't grind.
Right. Right.
And that's a huge part of the misconception of money cures everything.
Right.
It doesn't, because you're not healed yet.
Right.
All money's going to do is cover up things, and it's going to show exactly who you really are exactly. or how healed you are, or how healed you are not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So money doesn't cure everything. I
yeah.
promise.
Yeah, I love that, because a couple of things to unpack, because I felt like if I were to ever talk, you know, I don't even have to go back as far as 60. If I spoke to my 20-year-old self, like that's what I would tell my 20-year-old self, to slow down and live in the moment, right? Mm. Part of the reason I would tell myself that is exactly what you said. I was so focused on destinations that I never celebrated. I never felt like once I got to one place, I kind of felt like I had to, because I proved I could be successful there.
Yeah.
I had to go to the next place. So I'm not even planted in the first place that I got.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already thinking about the next place that I go, and which is what made you know, my journey empty, you know. And it wasn't until, you know, I honestly, this is like recent, maybe like 5 years ago, maybe, where I started to finally, you know, realize that, you know, you're this guy.
Yeah.
You know, you've done all these things. You know, you've never really sat and enjoyed it, you know, and you know, again, head down. And I just was like going. And so I appreciate that, because I think a lot of people do believe that, you know, more money, you know, the more money you have, the faster you'll be able to cure yourself.
Yeah.
Where that's not even necessarily the truth, right? Can you talk a little bit, though, about, like, why is it? Because so I have two thought processes, if you will,
okay,
around why I don't celebrate, right? Or why I just keep going harder and harder and harder. One, and maybe you could, you know, you could tell me which one you think it is. Part of my mind says that I don't celebrate because I have my goals are so big that if I sit and celebrate, I think I'm going to talk myself out of actually reaching to that next level, if you will, right? So that's part of me that believes that. Mm. Then there's another part of me that also, which might be trauma, right?
Okay.
And so I'm sitting on your couch today. I'll tell you the story. So I grew up like, you know, low income, never really had anything. And I remember, I think I was like 15 or 16, I think. And I was working summer youth, you know, in New York. And I had got paid. So it was the first time that I had money that I could do whatever I want with
Let's go.
Right.
What did you buy?
So I went to Reading, Pennsylvania. And bought a bunch of, I went to buy clothes, because I made money before, because I was packing bags and all that stuff, but it was like money to eat. It wasn't nothing, yeah. Substantial. So I go to Reading, Pennsylvania. That's where they had the outlets and stuff, right? And I started buying a whole bunch of clothes. And I remember coming back home and, you know, again, it's my first time, like, fresh. I threw on a pair. I want to say it was Averex jeans. It was like,
okay,
yeah, it was like Averex was popping at the time. I had a pair of Averex jeans. I had like, I was fresh.
And I was like, yo, yeah, the whole fit.
Right. I go outside. I don't know why. It was somebody that I trusted. Somebody that I thought he actually was like a big brother to me.
Okay.
Because and I want to say big brother, but he protected me. Let's just say.
Yeah.
right? So anytime anything happened in the hood, you know what I'm saying? This is the person I would go get to go beat somebody up for me. Like we had, you know, because I was younger.
Yeah.
Go outside and I'm feeling fresh. I'm like happy. Like I'm excited and I'm like happy to like that I got these clothes.
You put
and
it
I'm,
on,
I'm
bro.
Feeling myself. And he was jealous. This person that I thought was supposed to be my protector, somebody that I looked up to, like I knew his family, like we were, you know, like he's older than me, so he wasn't my friend, but it was somebody that I looked up to, and he got so mad that he cut my jeans.
Whoa!
Like he took a razor out and he cut my jeans, and it wasn't until recently that I started thinking about that. I was like, there's a pattern. I don't like to show my excitement. That even when I'm excited about reaching a goal, I keep it to myself. I don't, you know, I don't outwardly like to show excitement for an achievement because I think that there's a boy in me that's afraid that somebody's gonna try to take that away.
You think somebody's always gonna cut your jeans?
Exactly.
That's
100%. What say you, Dr. Hopkins?
So again, thank you for sharing that. That's what a lot of us go through. I had something similar like that happen to me too. So let's double click on a couple things. Mm-hmm. So cutting the jeans and everything, that's 100% trauma. That's 100%. There's his voice that's really loud that says, remember when we touched the stove and it was hot? Don't ever touch it again. Mm. Your brain wants to protect you because you had a super high of dopamine and it's like, come on, man, this is great. Your body's feeling it. Mm. Oh my God, we fresh. We put it on. We earned this fit. Mm-hmm. Soon as you come outside, your boy's like, nah, bro, cortisol hit you hard. My jeans is cut. Oh, so that's a lesson that you learned that your body remembered. Mm. Oh, if you show off too much, somebody gonna cut you. Mm. Whether that's physically, emotionally, mentally, you're gonna get cut. Mm. Don't show off too much. Especially for us in our culture, especially in New York, LA, these are the cultures that go, don't go too crazy because somebody's going to do something, somebody's going to say something. So the more you show off, the more you're a target. What Frank Lucas say, the loudest one in the room is the weakest
facts,
one in the room.
Facts, yeah.
Not always. Mm-hmm. Not if you're saying the right things. Not if you're loud and not boasting about yourself, but you're loudly helping someone. You're loudly thanking someone. You're loudly grateful. Mm-hmm. Don't just come in with a big fur coat on.
With the chinchilla.
You know, if it's alpaca, you got to pat it. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But really, that is 100% exactly that voice that's in your head that's saying, I can't show off. Mm. I can't do these things. Mm. So you have to go back and say, why? It's the easiest question. Why?
Yeah.
Well, because he's going to do that. That's one person. Mm. And that's another thing that I have to help people with as well, too, is, you know, that's a part of survivor's remorse. You're successful now. Some of your friends couldn't go. Everybody can't go. Mm. So even right there, you were climbing a mountain. Mm. And you're like, come on, bro. You help me. I'm helping you out. He didn't do the work to breathe at that high altitude. Mm. You've already climbed. You've been training to climb. You've been working. You've been grinding. You finally got the money. Mm. I can climb Mount Everest. He can't go past that hill. Mm. Everybody can't go with you. Yeah. He was like, yo, man, this is my day one.
Yeah.
But sometimes your day one are keeping you at day one. Mm. If your day ones are keeping you at day ones, it's okay to grow. Mm. It's okay to grow past your friend to where when that moment happened, he was like, wait a minute. I know Ash as this. Mm. I'm comfortable with him there.
Yeah.
It's okay to grow past the level of comfort that people have for you. Mm. This is where I met Cash.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with him there.
Yeah.
So when you feel that within your family, within your friends, within your circle, these are my day ones,
yeah.
but they're comfortable with you here. Mm. You make them uncomfortable up here. Mm. So it's okay to grow past that discomfort that they have. Mm-hmm. That's on you. That has nothing to do with me. So celebrate. Mm. It's okay. I promise you it's okay because the more you celebrate and say, I got big goals. But yeah, why'd you set all these goals? Mm. So if you set all these goals, you set them for a reason.
Yeah.
Once you hit them, celebrate them. Okay, on to the next one. But take a second because your body's just going to go. There's no difference between getting to the goal or planning the goal.
Yeah.
It's so much stress. There's so many things. You have to earn your dopamine.
Yeah.
When we jump onto our phone right away in the morning, boom, we're hitting flooded with so many things.
Yeah.
But if you take a second and go, okay, what do I want today?
Yeah.
What's going to happen today?
Yeah.
Not tomorrow, today. What's going to happen today? Mm-hmm. I have to plan for these things. And if I celebrate the things that I plan for, I get more reasons to celebrate to where your body gets hit and infused with so much dopamine. Like, this feels great.
Right.
It's the happy gene. Right. Oh, my God. It's the happy drug. Oh, my God. Right. It's dopamine. It's fantastic.
Right.
You have to earn it, though, because if you're not celebrating, you're going to just keep crashing. It's going to be, oh, this is great. Okay. You're going to keep doing this.
Yeah. And so what is the solution, though, right? Because if if it's trauma and I have to celebrate, but if I celebrate around the wrong people, they could potentially, crash.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I got going on. So how what's the solution to that? Do I now look for a new set of people? Do I learn how to celebrate in silence? Like,
That's a great question. That's what a lot of people are dealing with too. Yeah. No matter what level that they're on.
Yeah.
It's not getting new people, but I can love you from a distance. Mm. I got family members that I love from a distance.
Yeah.
I love you to death, but you got to stay over there
because
you're going to mess everything up over here because we are, if we look under a microscope and look at our fingers, we are vibrating.
Mm.
So if we're vibrating, that means we are on a frequency.
Mm.
So your frequency is what you are frequently seeing.
Mm.
If you are frequently seeing negativity, if you are frequently seeing all the things that you don't want, then that's what's going to happen. Change your frequency.
Yeah.
I cannot tune into jazz and rap at the same time.
Yeah.
It's going to be static.
Yeah.
A lot of us are stuck in that static.
Mm.
So elevate your frequency.
Mm-hmm.
If this is where I want to be, if this is who I am, you have so many people around you that are fantastic, that are great, because you elevated to that. This is what Ash is vibrating on.
Yeah.
My frequency says this,
yeah.
and everybody else will just fall off because they'll just fall off because they can't climb.
Yeah.
If you keep climbing, they'll just stop. Wherever they can breathe at, they'll stop. I can't breathe up here.
Mm.
So it's not getting new people. You're already vibrating on that level. So just continue to do that. Love people from a distance and go, hey, man, you're going to mess up everything that's going to happen over here.
Right.
And you have to protect yourself and healthy boundaries, which is hard in a lot of cultures. But healthy boundaries is something that you have to practice and go, I can love you and you cannot be in my space. And those things can be OK.
Yeah.
Whether it's a parent, whether it's a brother, sister, anybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is OK. Let's say you have a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a mental or emotional bus.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Sprinter now.
Mm-hmm.
I had a school bus, big yellow school bus. Mm-hmm. Everybody's on it. Everybody can tell me where to turn, where to go, all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You have to figure out what route you're taking,
mm-hmm.
who's on the bus,
mm-hmm.
who can make the calls, and mm-hmm. who's driving is most importantly. Who's driving your bus?
Because
if I'm driving my bus, Ash, you can't tell me what turns to take.
Right.
You can't even, matter of fact, here's the rules to the Byron bus.
Right.
You can't get on my bus and tell me where to go. And if you are not taking Byron stops, these are the stops on the Byron Express.
Mm.
If you're not taking these stops, you got to get off.
Right.
Ding, see you later.
Right.
This, you can't tell me where to go.
Right.
So it goes from everybody being able to say anything to now I got a Sprinter.
Mm.
Me and my family, we run this.
Mm.
I'm driving. Now my lady can come in and say, hey, make that right turn because it's better. But
right.
you know what? You right, baby.
Right.
But other than that, it's like, hey, who's on your bus?
Yeah.
Who's driving?
Who's driving?
What
yeah.
do you have? Some people got a helicopter.
It's yeah,
like, you need
yeah.
to empty that thing out.
Right.
Because even everybody around us, they mean well.
Yeah.
Your friend meant well, but he didn't know what to do in that moment.
Mm.
That's what's stopping you from celebrating. It's like, well, everybody else. It's not about everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's about Ash.
Yeah.
I set these goals. I need to celebrate myself, my family, all the things that I've done, and then move forward going, okay, now what's next after I've celebrated?
Mm-hmm.
It's not getting new friends. It's vibrate on the level that you need to be on, and people will follow. Or they'll fall off, and that's up to them.
Follow off. Yeah, yeah.
Everybody can't go.
Yeah, yeah. Talk to me a little bit about the backpack of burdens. What is it, and why do you claim it to be so powerful? You said this is, you know, behind the scenes, you said it's one of the most powerful tools. You like, why, what is it and why is that?
So I created it because it created me.
Yes, sir.
So we walk through life with these things right here. So let me pass this to you really quick.
Yeah.
Oh, my hand's shaking. There we go. How heavy is that?
It's heavy. Like this is, yeah. This is heavy.
It's a couple of pounds. So I wear this when I go speak. I go speak at schools. I go speak high school, middle school, colleges, sports teams, everybody. And I wear this backpack. I was like, why is he wearing a backpack, bro? You're 40. I said, okay. And then they realize after I pass it to him how heavy it is. So this is what we're carrying around in life.
Mm.
So we have this backpack that we can't
backpack
see.
Backpack of burdens.
That's why it's the backpack of burdens because people have been able to put things inside of your backpack without you knowing.
Mm.
And it gets heavier and heavier.
Mm.
You're carrying your parents' thoughts, your religious thoughts, anything around the neighborhood. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is all the trauma things that get thrown into there. So inside of this bag are trauma triggers.
Mm.
So I'm going to let you grab one in a minute.
Uh-oh.
And the bag already knows. The bag always knows.
Yeah.
I promise you, the bag always knows.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna look away. I'm gonna look away.
Just reach it.
It's been shaking up. It's heavy. I'm gonna look this way. Whatever you grab, that's what it is. The bag knows. Okay, what you got?
It's my anxiety. Anxiety.
So exactly. You just took that out the bag, but exactly. You just thought something about it right now, right?
Yeah.
So
sure.
Is there any way in your life that is connected to you?
Yeah, honestly. And it's funny because as I think about it, like I'm literally having these thoughts though currently. And I know why I'm having anxiety because anxious thoughts. And it's almost like the duck. Right, people might be looking at me, and I look calm, right? But underneath, I'm moving, and the reason why it's anxiety is because I'm in a space where I'm doing something that I've done before, but I want the results, but I don't want to do what it took to get there. But I almost feel like that's the only way.
It is.
And so I'm in a space where I'm feeling anxious because I know that the result that I desire is like, I have to have this result. But again, the way to get there, I just don't want to, because it almost feels like I have to give up a part of me that is enjoying life, to be 100% honest with
comfort.
You.
Comfort.
You know, it's a part of me that enjoys life. So I want to enjoy life and have the result, but my experience is telling me that's not possible. And so I'm anxious because I feel like I got to make a choice. And I, you know, like my jacket right now, in the back of it says abundance is your birthright.
That's right.
And because I believe abundance is your birthright, I have a saying that and is better than or. And so I don't want to choose. I want to have both. I want to have the life that I have, but also the result that I desire. And there's a, I think it's the Bible that says a house divided.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel like my house is divided right now. So I'm anxious. I'm anxious. You know what I'm saying? I'm anxious. Yeah,
let me do you a favor. Let me take that from you.
Yes, sir.
You can keep feel that. A little lighter.
Yeah, feel a little lighter for sure.
So you can take this anxiety that you have and go, and I love the fact that you said and instead of or, because I teach on that as well.
Yeah.
And is a powerful thing because we think that we have to make a choice. You already made a choice. Mm. You're going to do it.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't feel anxious. Mm. If you weren't going to do it, you wouldn't feel anxious about it. Yeah. You know what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know what you have to do.
Yeah.
So enjoy the process in the meantime going, well, I got to give up comfort. No, because you're not celebrating. Mm. That's why. Mm. So if you're celebrating the small steps that it takes, you don't have to wait until I got the car, I got the house. That's the celebration. No, I said I was going to do something. Step one is the, you know, if I'm getting dressed in the morning, step one, wake up.
Yeah.
I'm going to celebrate that. Okay,
yeah.
I woke up.
Yeah.
I was granted the life to wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a gift. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Step by step, you're enjoying it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I know what I have to get to. I know where I have to go. Mm-hmm. So instead of being anxious about it, I'm going to enjoy this process because I'm going to feel like that person.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do something with you.
Yeah.
So as you are moving and becoming the person that hits that goal, what does he look like?
Mm.
What is he doing?
Yeah.
So take a moment and go visit him.
Mm.
Now, it sounds crazy, but I go visit my future self all the time.
Mm.
And if I'm feeling distracted or if I'm feeling like I'm off track, go visit him.
Mm.
Oh, he didn't do none of that.
Mm. Mm.
He got a nice life. Mm. He got the result. The result that you're chasing is inside of you. Mm. Go visit him.
Mm. Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower. The good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If it's 6 months down the road, 1 year down the road, you're going and sitting with him. What is he doing?
Yeah.
And this is, you know, I do neuro-linguistics programming as well, which is a nice way of saying goal setting and meditation. So as far as you going and visiting him, what does the house smell like? What does it feel like? Add these feelings to it, add textures to it. So as I'm going and I'm visiting, I'm going, okay, this is Ash. Where is he sitting? He's in the house. He's in the car. What does it feel like? What does it smell like? What is my wife wearing? Who's around me? All of those things. Take in the environment. There's no anxiety there if you see it and feel it. The thing is, when people go, oh, you know, I'm going to write this vision board, I'm going to do these, there's no emotion attached to it. You have to attach the missing emotion to it. How does it feel when you get there?
Yeah.
Not the I am great. How do you feel that this is now a reality right now?
That man good. That man good. I ain't gonna lie. You know why? And this is not even cap. I'm not performing for the camera. Is like, even as you were saying that to me, I started to put. I was doing that. I was envisioning, and my future self was actually telling me, like. So first, the guy I am now couldn't even survive. I can't even take him with me.
Exactly.
Right? I can't even take him with me. So as you were saying all of this, I'm putting myself, myself right now, in my future self's space, but he's a different guy. He's not me right now. He's not the guy right now.
Yep.
And the guy right now can't even, like, he can't even go there. Like, and so in a way, it's almost like, why wouldn't I want to?
Exactly.
Right? And it almost feel like, so I know Wayne Dyer says ego is edging God out.
Yeah.
So it almost feels like the anxiety is coming from a place of ego.
Yeah.
Where my ego is fighting to stay the same. While my new self, which is my God self, because the closer I get to the future self, this is a vision that God gave me. Exactly. So my new self is my God self. And so my anxiety in some way is my ego fighting to stay alive.
That's all it is.
Wow.
You don't even need me. Look, you got it. Ash coming from my job, y'all, so I'm out. Wow. But that's great, bro. Look, hold on, bro. That was good.
Yo, that was good.
Bro, that was powerful. Because this is literally what I do. Wow. And this is why I get so excited.
Yeah, yeah.
Because just that moment, you're like, oh, I have anxiety. You can drop it that quick. Mm. So now, instead of anxiety, now I'm excited.
Yeah.
That's a part of, you know, my 3R method was, okay, we recognize that it's anxiety.
Yeah.
We reframed it now to go, nah. It's just my ego.
Yeah.
And now we just released it. Anxiety is sitting over here now. Yeah. Now it's a stepping stone to my greatness. Mm. I'm good. Now I know what I need to do because I know this version of me cannot exist. I cannot walk through that door with all this baggage. I'm going to get stuck. Mm. There's so many things on my back. There's so many things in my backpack. And how many more things can we pull out that we need to release?
Right.
These are the things that we need to go, okay, my parents gave me this. Mm. I feel angry. Mm-hmm. I feel sad. Yeah. I feel lonely.
Yeah.
These are things that were given to you. And the best part about gifts is you don't have to receive them. Mm-hmm. You don't have to take them.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are all in the playing a game. If you know, we know track.
Right.
You know, if we're all running a marathon, shout out to Nip. If we all running a marathon and you're getting handed the stick, you can drop it.
Yeah.
Because your parents gave you that trauma stick. It's like, okay, cool. We running. All right. Mm-hmm. Who's the anchor?
Mm-hmm.
All of us.
Mm-hmm.
If we're running this trauma, we're running this oppression Olympics and seeing who can get the gold,
right?
You can stop and go, this is a relay race that I never even signed up for.
Yeah.
Why are you passing me down this? Because our families don't know.
Mm.
This is what we've always done.
Yeah.
How's that working out for you?
Mm.
Does that work out for your mom? Does that work out for your dad?
Mm.
Are they exactly where you would like to be?
Yeah.
Or would you like to go higher?
Yeah.
There's a thing in just the world, not even our culture, in the world, where it's just like one rung up.
Mm-hmm.
Your bar solo is like, well, my dad was here, so I'm going to go here.
Right.
Why are you just climbing one rung?
Right.
You can go higher.
Mm. Yeah.
One rung up is not where you should be.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm just going to step here. That's the ground.
Mm.
Look up.
Mm.
We're so busy looking and seeing what our parents did, what our family did, all these other things, all these traumas that we were given because our pack is too heavy.
Mm.
it's too heavy.
Yeah.
And you're dragging on the ground and you're like, yo, I'm not going to ask for help. Why? Because I'm a man. Because I got this. I'm killing this. I got it from the mud. Why? I don't want to get it from the mud. My daughter is not getting it from the mud and I'm happy.
Yeah.
Her biggest flex that I want for my 14-year-old daughter is my daddy don't even talk to me like that. I'm gone. I'm good. I don't have to depend on anybody for anything.
Yeah.
She's not getting it from the mud. Her backpack, for the most part, is her and I emptying it one at a time. Because I'm not going to pass that down to her.
Yeah.
I'm not giving her all the things, and we're not running this trauma marathon to where I'm handing her the stick. Like, go run with all my problems. If we stop and go, wait a minute, we all flying out on this?
Right.
Trauma travels.
Right.
Trauma travels, and it packs your bags for you.
Yeah.
It sits you in first class.
Yeah.
It gets you comfort. It's like, yo, this dysfunction, nah, that's what we always do. They're disguising dysfunction as comfort. And you're traveling with this trauma thinking, oh, yeah, this is great. I'm sitting in first class. I'm comfortable.
Right.
So when we're comfortable, like we were talking about earlier, we get stuck. Yeah. When we're comfortable, anxiety comes. Depression comes. Like, nah, man, we can't do this. Who said that? Whose voice is that?
Right.
In the eye of the storm, whose voice are you listening to? Because somebody else put something in your bag. If I reach in the bag right now, I don't even know what's coming here. Lonely. This is one of the number one things in America and everywhere that everybody feels. And this is heavy. This one's big.
Yeah.
So my daughter wrote this one.
Yeah.
A lot of us feel this.
Yeah.
In order to not feel that, we need community.
Yeah.
So I can take this and go, man, I'm so lonely. Are you telling anybody? Are you talking to anybody?
Yeah.
It's like, yo, I'm just out here. It's just me and my family. You know, my family not even looking out for me. I'm just out here
because
they don't know. Well, they've let me down. The church has let me down. Yeah. My friends have let me down. That's your frequency,
because
that's what you're frequently seeing. If you're constantly in a shade room, if you're constantly all these negative things, it's no surprise that that's what you see in your life.
Right.
It's the red car effect.
Right.
If I'm looking for a red car going down the road and I haven't looked before, what am I going to see? Red car. Every single time. You're looking for this. Go and heal. Do the real work and stop posting and tagging and trolling people online.
Right.
Go do the real work.
Right.
That's why I was like, I don't respond. And somebody says something negative, I'm looking at people like, why y'all going back and forth online? What does this do for you?
Yeah.
It's light outside. Get out the shade room.
Yeah.
Relax.
Relax. Light outside. Get out the shade room.
I'm just saying, you know, you can take this and go, I can be lonely, or I can know exactly where this comes from.
Yeah.
I can know that I was a kid and I was made fun of for being a nerd, for being all, this is mine. That's what the bag always knows, for being a nerd. I got bullied and thrown in the shower to do push-ups because they found out I had comic books in my backpack. Wow. I was like, what you doing over here, homie? What's this?
Right.
And I had the wrong color on at the wrong time. I was like, where are you from? Down the street? What are we talking about, guys? And he's like, nah. You're going to run all of that. Oh, and they opened my backpack. I just had comic books. I was like, man, get out of here. We ain't going to do nothing with that.
Yeah.
But I learned a valuable lesson. It's like, oh, I couldn't be that person. Just like when you got cut.
Right.
That was me getting cut. Oh, I can't be this person.
Right.
I didn't embrace being the nerd or being, which nerds are cool. Get you a nerd. Get you a nerd.
Right.
I didn't embrace that person until I realized that that person is me and that that is what shaped who I am. I'm unique. I like anime and comic books to this day. My lady's cool with it. She'll sit and watch WWE with me and she was like, that ain't real. I'm like, you can't say that.
Right.
But finding the people in the community that are for you, your loneliness is gone. But you have to be yourself. Because if I'm getting caught being Ash, then all my blessings that are supposed to be delivered, I'm not at my address. I'm not going to get delivered none of these blessings because I'm over here trying to be you.
Yeah.
Make sure you're found being who you are. Are you going to be lost?
Right.
You know, it it's actually a funny story I just told my daughter, too. The giraffe and the turtle. So, and this is about friendship and things like that. So, the giraffe and the turtle, let's say the giraffe is tall, of course, and they're both in the jungle. So you got the giraffe and the turtle both in the jungle, and there's a river in front of them, and then the turtle's like, yo, we got to go all the way around because there's crocodiles in there. I think I saw some crazy animals. It's dangerous on this river. The giraffe comes down. He goes, okay, cool. We're going to go around. How long is it going to take? Probably about 3 days. I'm hungry. I got some work to do. We got some stuff over there. Might be some giraffe ladies over there I might want to see. The giraffe picks his head up. And he looks, he can see a little bit further than the turtle, of course. So the giraffe is looking and he goes, nah, I think we're good. I don't see anything in the water past right there. We got a couple spots. We're good. He comes back down, all the way down, talks to his friend, the turtle. Hey, man, I think we're good. If we just cross around this left side, we'll hit a corner. I promise we're good to go. The turtle loves the giraffe. They've been best friends since birth. Don't ask me how. Turtle says, nah, man, promise. I got you. You're my boy. I got your back. Let's go around. It's going to take 3 days. And giraffe's thinking, Well, let me go back up, because technically, if you think about a giraffe, if they keep their heads down too long, they die. Mm. They suffocate. Mm. Their necks are bent. Mm-hmm. They need to breathe. If the giraffe stays down longer than, I believe, 15 seconds, it's going to start choking. It's going to start coughing.
Yeah.
So you got to come right back up. Oh, man, nah, you know what? I trust you. I love you, turtle man, but I'm going to go this way. Mm. Now, the turtle is his best friend. Mm. He means well. He's all about him. Like, yo, man, I love it. I got you. Well, I'm going to go this way, and you can go that way. There are so many turtles in our life that we're listening to when we are giraffes and we know the way.
Mm.
There are too many turtles in your life
that
care, that love you.
Yeah.
I mean well. Mm. They don't have your vision.
Mm.
They can't see what you can see.
That's good.
You are a giraffe. Yeah. Stretch your neck out because you're going to die down there.
Mm.
Come up.
That's good.
Everybody can't go.
That's good. Whew. All right, so right, Pat, yo.
My bad.
Yo, heavy. I know the answer to this, but, you know, as a money show, money mindset show, what is the value monetarily of what you do? Like, why is, you know, I guess getting my mind right, or people getting their mind right, why is that healing, you know, wellness? Like, what is the monetary value of that?
Oh, yeah. Wealth is everything.
Hmm.
Wealth is money. Yeah. Wealth is access, is all those things, but you're going to lose it. You're going to be the millionaire crying in the bins because you don't know what to do. What is the monetary value of this? Matter of fact, 90% of all people that are entrepreneurs, that are the number one people in companies, and this is science back, have a high level of EQ. Now, they might not use it. They have a high level of EQ. 58% of people in the workplace that are successful, that make the most money, have a high EQ. So it's not IQ, it's EQ. It's how do I deal with this person to the left and the right of me? How do I know how to respond to my boss? How do I know how to be a good employee? How do I know how to be a good leader in life? You're going to go further, faster, when you know how to channel my emotions, because I might have a bad day, but I can't bring that into work. This person's having a bad day and it's my boss, so I can't crash out on them. I'm just going to sit here. Being emotionally balanced, understanding why you're doing something, because everybody in America, 45% of people are in a job that they hate. Not that they dislike, that they hate.
Hate.
If you want to hate your job, continue not knowing what you're doing things for. So monetarily, it's through the roof. It's through the ceiling. But I'll give you more numbers, because men lie, women lie, numbers don't.
That's
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I just worked with a company that I can't say, but they went from probably their base level employees, the excitement for the job was gone. They were burnt out. A lot of people in America deal with burnout. So it goes from their retention being extremely high to why they brought me in, to where now we cut it in half. Half is a huge number.
It's
if you're
huge,
a business, absolutely. If you're a company, half is huge.
Yeah.
It's all about tapping into, why am I here? How do I work with this person to the left and right of me? How do I work? What am I? What kind of worker am I? Do I get motivated by this? Do I get motivated by that? Now let me see what's happening at home. Let me see what's happening in my life that I'm not dealing with, or I'm just bringing things to work. Once you're emotionally balanced, it's like a superpower. EQ can be a superpower for you if you know how to use it properly and not just go, okay, well, you know, I don't feel anything. I'm grinding. My face is down. My head's down. I'm in the sand. Let's go. Let's get money. If money is your goal, you ain't going to get it.
Right.
I promise. But yeah, it's the monetary value to learning yourself, because that's what you're really doing. Not just mentally, emotionally learning who you are and why you tick and what your trauma triggers are, whether you're in a relationship, whether you're in business, anything in life, knowing who I am and how to react, priceless. So I can't even put a number on it, because it's priceless.
Yeah.
You can go and do anything you would like to do, because now you know who you are.
Yeah. No, I love that. You said earlier, you know, you said we're not in relationship with people. We're in relationship with their nervous systems. I want you to elaborate on that a little bit, because, you know, you know, obviously, five love language, you know, became a phenomenon.
It did.
But you talk about something that's almost the opposite of that as it relates to the nervous system and things of that nature. If you could expand a little bit, that'd be good.
So the love languages are great. I love that book. I read the book like everybody else. But it's really not about how to love that person, which I think is an important part of it, but it's not the whole picture. How anybody can love you. I can pretend how to love you. I can gaslight you. I can do all these things. But what happened to you is a more important question. Mm. What are your pain languages? Mm. What are the things that make you tick? How do you respond to trauma? Mm. What happened to you when you were a kid? That way I know all these landmines that are around you. So for instance, for myself and my lady, for our relationship, for my partner, we're learning each other. Mm-hmm. So if I'm saying, hey, babe, these are the things that happened to me. So if I react and you say something, know that we stepped on a landmine. We, not you, we stepped on a landmine in this conversation. But if I show you every time where they're at, the more that I show you and the more that you show me, the more we can walk around them, or military reference, we can go clip the wires, throw them in the back of the truck, and they're no longer landmines. Mm-hmm. These rocks, these traumas, these burdens don't exist anymore because we're talking about them, because I'm letting you know and letting you in, which is so scary for people to, because the more people you let in, one's like, oh, well, you can hurt me.
Right.
You got to play that game.
Right.
That's the cost of playing the game. Mm. If you want the love, if you want the relationship, if you want the friendship, you got to pay. That's the price.
Yeah.
Like, yo, what's the mission? You got to give everything.
Oof.
There's so many relationships that I didn't do well in, that the other person didn't do well in, because you only got this portion of me. Because what women and men don't talk about is a safety. Mm. We talk about women's safety. We don't talk about men's safety.
Mm, that's facts.
I have to feel safe enough to give you everything. Mm. Not financially, because anybody can do that. Mm. Emotionally, I have to feel safe to go, you know what, this is person that, or Alicia Keys say, your secrets, tell your secrets to.
Yeah.
This is the person that I give my secrets to. This is the person I give myself to. My partner now, she knows everything about me. Mm. Forward, backward, good, bad, ugly. Mm. She knows the entire landfill. Mm. If you're not doing that, not just in a relationship to where you're married or anything like that, friendships, which is also scary for people, but that's the admission of the game.
Yeah.
If this is what you want. So it's not necessarily, oh, what are the five love languages? Mm-hmm. What are your pain languages?
But sometimes what you say can and will be used against
you. So be careful. But that's with discernment.
Yeah.
You just don't go tell. You're going to talk to somebody on the street. Hey, man, you want to know what happened to me when I was 12 years old? Bro, let me tell you. Have discernment to know who to give that to.
Yeah.
And that comes with, I know me. Yeah. I know myself, because we're going to keep jumping in relationships and people and friendships and all these things. You're not even healed.
Mm-hmm.
All you guys are just trauma bonding. Mm-hmm. And after you trauma bond, then what? Like, oh, yeah, this sucks for you. This sucks for me, too.
Right.
Let's all suck.
Right.
Let's all embrace it. This is amazing. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Why don't you go heal and you'll stop attracting those things?
And you know that's so good. And I want y'all who listening to point this out. And by the way, most of this stuff is in his book.
Yes.
Mental Health is a Lie, right? Because look, I'm so much on the couch getting free free session that I forgot to mention that. But it's so good what you just said, because again, and you're good at what you do, because as you're talking, you're allowing me to visualize some things. And that's what I just did just now. As you were talking, I was visualizing that and the importance of healing first before you trust. Mm-hmm. Why? Because, and this happens to me all the time, which is, again, we got to talk about your retreat. I need to go to the retreat because I need to heal.
Hey, it's coming up in Tulum.
Right? Because it's obvious that I'm not fully healed. You know why? Because as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about recent connections that I've made. But even though their connections that I made that were deep connections, they were connections from an unhealed self.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine there's levels to healing.
Yes.
Right? And imagine if, you know, being suicidal or being, you know, I don't want to be here anymore is level one.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's still a level five, let's just say, right? And let's just say level five is everything is going well, but I feel, but fill in the blank.
Yeah.
What happens if I'm not healing at that level, what's going to happen is that I'm attracting a level five person.
Exactly.
But what you just made me realize is that as I attract the level five person, who the truth is could be in and out of my life,
mm-hmm.
when I become a level eight person,
y'all don't vibe.
I don't vibe no more. And then now right? And this is when what you say and do can be used against you in the court of friendship, in the court of relationship.
Level five, you said this.
Right.
So she's holding you, or he's holding you
right,
to level five. But
I'm already up on eight.
You down on the bottom of the hill. I'm already up top.
It's no fault
of theirs, because you guys both met at this trauma trigger.
You met
at this point where you're like, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, if that happened to you, that happened to me too.
Right.
Wow, let's talk about it. No. Are you healed from that? That's first day questions. Hey, are you healed from everything?
But nobody,
what are you talking
about? This
you're not going to ask that.
I got a pressure question from you, though.
Okay.
This is pressure now.
This is,
I don't know if you can answer this. I don't know.
All right, let's
go. Because the thing is, right, you pulled out the lonely rock. If I'm at level five, and I know that I'm trying to heal and get to level eight, does that mean I stay lonely at level five?
That's a good question.
Right? Do I stay lonely at level five because I'm like, I'm at this level, so let me not make any strong connections at this level? Or do I, like, what do I do, coach? What do I do, coach? I don't want to be lonely, coach. I don't know what to do, because at level five, I may need some support system at level five.
Yeah.
And then and that's the survivor's remorse, right? Because now that I'm thinking about it, it happened to me in the hood.
Yeah.
Right? In the hood, I'm at level two. I'm trying to get to level three. I get to level three, but all my level two guys are like, yo, we don't connect no more. Now I'm lonely again.
Yep.
Until I find a level three.
Yeah.
And then when I find a level three, I go to level four. Right. And so sometimes, right? And maybe I'm answering my own question, but sometimes, you know, there are connections where people are leveling up with you at the same time.
Mm-hmm. You have to find somebody with a growth mindset.
Oh, there we go. That's
so
the
if
one.
I have a
that's the one.
Yes, you sir. Can, and that's why people are like, oh, well, I got to get somebody that got the bag and all that. So my daughter's 14, talking about her friends and her boyfriend got to have a bag. What?
Yeah.
You live with me. You are poor.
Facts.
You are a teenager.
Exactly.
You're poor.
Exactly.
If you're on Instagram, you live with your parents, you're poor.
Right.
Stop.
Right.
You don't have to have all these things.
Right.
If I'm level five and I meet a level five person and we both say, hey, this is where we're at. Mm. Where would you like to be?
Exactly.
Not are you comfortable here? Yeah, so we meet people at the level of comfort. Mm. I'm comfortable here. You can tell if somebody's comfortable where they at.
Yeah.
Because you can have a conversation and say, hey, this is what I would like to be. This is who I'm becoming. Yeah. So let me take it back. Go and ask the person on the first date, if you're dating, who are you becoming? Yeah. What? Yeah. That's a real question. Well, I'm becoming a person that does this. Mm. Oh, are you willing to take the steps to get there? Mm. Because you're going to have to sacrifice some things.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be one of them.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, I would like to know who you're becoming. Mm. If we match up with who we're both becoming, if we're both lockstep and we're both equally yoked and see what that looks like, we don't have to have everything right now.
Yeah.
When I met my lady, she was eight and I was like four.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now we're at like 20 together.
Yeah.
It depends on the day. Maybe she's 25, maybe I'm 20.
Right.
She's amazing.
Right.
But it's just saying, hey, we had an honest conversation. And some of the friends that I'm talking to now have an honest conversation.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, just like you said, I'm not trying to perform.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to show you anything.
Yeah.
I think in every relationship, except for the one I'm in now, is a performance piece. Mm. Oh, you need this? I'm going to throw this cape on. I'm going to slip these boots on. I'm Superman. I got you, girl.
Yeah.
And then when it's done, it was like, oh, he wasn't about nothing. Nah, I just wanted to perform for you.
Mm.
I didn't heal.
Right.
Heal or you will perform.
Mm.
If you don't heal, you're going to continue to perform.
Yeah.
So it's not level five. Oh, I'm here. You're down there. Hey, would you like to level up?
Mm.
Are we both playing this game to where we're leveling up? We're doing the things and gaining the experience. Mm-hmm. A little bit of video game nerd knowledge for everyone. Are you grinding and farming and getting this experience to level up? Because the reason why friendships, relationships, business partnerships crash is because there's no real healing in the beginning. Mm. We're not discussing healing. You haven't gone to your healing.
Yeah.
Because the things that, if you are not healing, then you are helping.
Mm.
So whatever you're not healing, you're helping it.
Mm.
And you're helping it by hiding it.
Mm.
And you're hiding it by not naming it.
Mm.
So let's name the elephants in the room and make some room.
Mm.
So heal.
Mm.
And you will vibrate on the level of what you desire, not where you are.
Mm.
Because a lot of people that want to turn up, especially us in the hood,
mm-hmm.
it's like, yeah, man, I can show you where I'm from.
Mm.
Show me where you're going instead.
Mm. Yeah.
You can stop and go, it's not that serious.
Yeah.
I had an uncle who was my favorite uncle in the world.
Mm.
Passed away 2021 when his mentees murdered him.
Wow.
And his son.
Wow.
In the car. It was in the newspaper.
Wow.
The hardest thing I ever had to do was I still to this day haven't looked at the pictures because it's just, it's hard.
Wow.
It's hard. And I'm not trying to take it down, but there's a reason behind this.
Yeah.
Greatest person. He went to prison. Mm-hmm. Wrong place, wrong time. Getaway driver. Don't know why. Mm-hmm. But he was one of the first men in my life to show me that it's okay to be who I am. He was like, you like Michael Jackson? Cool. Mm-hmm. He like MC Hammer? You like Michael Jackson? Cool. Yeah. You like anime? Cool. Yeah. You like comic books? Cool. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Then when he went away, it was so sad. But when he came back out, I rocked with him every single day. Mm-hmm. In Colorado, fast forward, I get a phone call, and I've never heard my mom cry like this. This is my mom's brother. Mm-hmm. She's screaming, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. I said, what? Found everything out. One of the worst days of my life. He went to court for this little boy who murdered my uncle and his son together. Mm-hmm. Just to rob him for some money that if he would have just asked, he would have got it.
Wow.
3 years. So the boy was about 15. He was 18 when he finally had the final court date. My mom was like, you going to come to court? No. You don't come to court? No. You don't come to court? No. Because I'm going to crash out.
Right.
Even the emotional intelligence guy, I will crash out too because that's my favorite person and you stole him.
Right.
You stole him from me. And as I'm listening, I was like, I finally came. You know, I prayed about it. Something told me, just show up virtually. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I showed up and I'm listening and the judge says something that hit my spirit. He was like, yeah, it took about 3 seconds for you to steal these people's life. I'm like, so I said something. I said, hey, man, pick your head up. Because he's in court. You can see him. He's not looking at the picture or anything. I said, I forgive you. And that was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Because I could have said something opposite. I could have went crazy. But I told him, I was like, you stole life. So you're going to go have to sit down. You're going to have to think about that. You stole life, brother. Two lives. To some really good people that would have helped you. That was your mentor.
Right.
And I started thinking, you know, I forgave him. I told him I would help him if he needs it because he was a young boy. He didn't know what to do. He just wanted some money. He wanted some things. And a lot of people are victim of their circumstances, but you're also victim of your environment and your vibration. If he doesn't see anything further than that, then that's how you're going to react. And I started thinking, I said, dang, he got three seconds. And then the judge finally gave him 30 years. I said, whoa.
Wow.
3 seconds for 30 years.
Sheesh.
Like, think about that. Three seconds. For 30 years.
Yeah.
If EQ isn't important, then I don't know what is.
Yeah.
3 seconds for 30 years. Yeah. Your life is gone.
Yeah.
And there's how many people have those stories?
Yeah.
Not to those extremes, not to those things like that. But if you take a second and go, man, I don't have to show you where I'm from. I can show you the person I'm becoming.
Yeah.
I can show you who I would like to be. I can show you a level 8. I can show you a level 10 because that's the person I'm becoming. How do I get to this person? How do I not have anxiety? How do I not be lonely about it? Don't, the thing I hate the most is fake it till you make it.
Because
it's not fake who I'm becoming.
Right.
Be it until you see it. Walk in it.
Yeah.
GOD, if I'm God on display, he created me. The creator created me in his image to create. So why wouldn't I create? So I'm creating the version of me that I want. And I go visit him every single day. I don't look up. There's people that I admire. I don't look up to them. I look up to future me.
Because
I know he's killing it. That's who I want to be. So I'm going to move like him. I'm going to walk like him. I'm going to talk like him until I become him. Because if you do that every single day, that's who you are. Whatever goal that you have set that the anxiety was trying to, because we already defeated it, that the anxiety was trying to speak on, doesn't exist anymore because you're now walking in that version of Ash. This version didn't fit through that door. Now you can go straight through it. You can slide through any way you want. Because now you became that person because you're not hiding it. That's why if you're not healing it, you're helping it. So whatever you're not healing, you are helping. Stop helping it. Stop hiding it. Grow through it, heal through it, and that way you can vibrate and your frequency will get you the person, the job, everything you want. Because Burger King or whatever you think is the lowest part of you, that's where you're vibrating, vibrate higher, and that's what you'll get.
Man. Sheesh. Sheesh. Heavy work, heavy work. Saloon, man, talk to us about this retreat, Talk to us about this retreat.
I do a thing called wealthy retreats because you want to be well as you're being wealthy. As we've been talking the entire time, I did a couple local retreats, you know, 2-3 day getaways, but I wanted to do an international. This is my first international one. I rented out a private space in Tulum. It's a private resort. It's phenomenal. So it's called Wealthy Retreats Phoenix. Every single one I do a different element. So this one's fire. I've got private chefs, private rooms, VIP, everything. The food is healthy. It's real food. It's real food. Yeah. It's good. I've got vegan stuff. I've got all kind of things ready for everyone. We're going to be learning, healing, helping. We're going to be doing some ceremonies for release. We're going to be doing some fire ceremonies. Well, I'm not going to make everybody walk on fire or do anything like that. I'm not going to give you everything, but what it is going to do is it's a circle of people, a tribe of people that are coming together with one common goal, which is to be their highest, most healed self. So you have to kill that person, not just your ego, and rise from those ashes like a phoenix. So that's why I'm naming it Phoenix. We're burning down the things that we thought. We're burning down the things that are telling us this is who we are. We're burning down the thoughts from somebody else. We're burning down the trauma. We're burning down all of these things. And we're rising from those ashes to be the Phoenix that we're supposed to be, to be our highest, most healed self. And with that, I've got some great things planned. We're not just going to sit there and do some woo-woo and chant all day. No, man, I've got some ATV set up for us. I've got some private cenotes and some island stuff that we're going to do. Great food. Great people, healing ceremony. We've got some Mayan, a Mayan cacao ceremony that I've done that is life-changing. it's amazing. It's phenomenal. The private rooms are phenomenal. It's just a healing retreat out of the country and getting back into nature, but it's like super private. So it's beautiful. Yeah. It's a high-end nature retreat that helps you heal the right way. And I'm guiding you through certain things and guiding you through some meditations and guiding you through. We're going to be learning. I'm going to give you books. We got a lot of gifts that I'm going to give everybody that I feel everybody needs. They're going to get gifted the book as well. But I'm so excited about these retreats. And the next one is going to be a different element. But for this element, for fire, we are releasing and burning down what we thought we were and what we taught, what we were taught that we were, and becoming the person that we know that we should be, without all the distraction, without all the things we're unplugging and plugging back into ourselves. So I'm excited.
Let's go. If somebody wanted to join the retreat, where can they go?
So I'm going to do this for you.
Yes, sir.
I thought about it right now. Spur of the moment. So all they have to do is go to my Instagram, which is Byron Inspires Growth. So Byron Inspires Growth, literally everywhere. If you type in Byron Inspires Growth, that's YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, everything. MySpace, Farmers Meet, all of that. Black Planet, all of it. In all honesty, just go to Byron Inspires Growth. And if they, I will give them a 15% discount just for you right now. For you right now.
Let's go.
They have to hit me with the, so DM me the word Ash. Just DM me the word Ash because it works. See how that plays on that with the Phoenix and the Ash?
Let's go.
What I did there?
Rise of the Phoenix with Ash. You heard? So
DM me the word Ash and you will get a discount. It'll send you the entire program.
Nice.
And you got different levels for it too. And I'm not killing everybody on price because I want them to really heal.
Nice.
So DM me the word Ash. And we'll get you going on a healing journey, and it's going to be phenomenal. And you'll be with me one-on-one. I'm not having assistants, having people there while I'm peeking behind a curtain. It's us one-on-one together.
Let's go. I love that. we didn't talk about soul science, though.
Okay, man.
Soul science. We got to talk about soul science. So what is it?
I love the fact that you remembered that. Soul science is what I coined. That's what everything is about.
Yeah.
It's not just about learning. So it's like, man, you've got all these things and how you, so it's science based, but it's also food for the soul. So I'm not just focusing on, well, neurologically, these are the things that are happening and you got to move this and like a dichotomy of this. No, man.
Right.
So it's just exactly what we're doing here to where soul science is literally helping your mind, your heart, your body, everything aligned. Because once you know who you are and you know what to do, your soul is aligned and you become a person that can find their soul's purpose. Finding your purpose is the number one thing, in my opinion, that we should be doing here on earth.
Yeah.
Your purpose is to help all of us.
Absolutely.
Your purpose is a service. A lot of times your purpose is a service and people forget what a service is.
Yeah.
You get paid for the amount of service that you're giving. So if you're a doctor or if you're pressing buttons at a fast food restaurant, you're getting paid for exactly what service you're giving.
The more
you earn. So the more you earn, the more you serve is the more you earn. So soul science is serving you in a way to where I created a program to where I can invite people in and it's like-minded people. I have, you know, an academy called the Growth Seekers Academy that soul science lives in. It's where you get this program and every single day, you're walking through different steps on how to become your highest, most healed self. Because for soul science, it's not, I'm not just going to focus on your brain. I'm not just going to focus on your heart. I'm not just going to focus on you physically. I'm going to give you the entire program to where you go, oh, I know exactly who I am. Balance. Soul science is a balance of the person. If you want to go and be your most healed, most highest self, that is what I created. And that's what I'm using because we know exactly what the hurt person looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what the hurt version of me is.
Yeah.
I'm so scared to know what the healed version of me is. And that's where
deep.
People stay.
That's deep.
What does the healed version of you look like?
Yeah.
How do they talk? How do they walk? What do they do?
Yeah.
That is soul science. Let's see the most healed version of you.
Yeah.
And put them out into the world.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, you'll be proud of them.
Mm. I love it. I love it. I love it. Let's go, yo. Byron Hopkins in the building. Last question, though. Is there anything that I did not ask you that you would want me to ask so you could leave some gems with our audience?
No, I think you asked me everything except for what my favorite food. And
That's it.
No,
that's
but
it.
The gems that I would like to leave with everyone is just, number one, just be yourself.
Yeah.
Be yourself and seek healing.
Yeah.
Grow through what you go through.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people want to attack the book or attack me when you hear the title. Don't. Yeah. Take a second and think of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying mental health is terrible. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Mental health is a lie. Because that's what we were taught the only thing to focus on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, well, mental health system is broken. It's not broken. The mental health system is not broken. Mm-hmm. It's just misplaced.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's like, okay, wait, it's misdiagnosed. Mental health system isn't broken. It's misdiagnosed.
Yeah.
To where we need to add in the emotional intelligence part of it as well.
Yeah.
So instead of focusing just on mental health, how do I have these emotions? Mm-hmm. Because we weren't taught how to navigate emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
One person, one story, one emotion, one healing at a time.
Yeah.
This is for us to grow through what we go through. With that being said, it's okay to feel. It's okay to grow. It's okay to have your feelings and not just run around crying and screaming all day. I have my feelings. I know what to do with them. I am in control.
Yeah.
I want to help people get balance and control of themselves.
Yeah.
Because the more you control yourself, less crash outs, less things that we're sitting there world starring and all these things like that. Focus on yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
The more fingers, you know more about everybody else's business than your own. What's your credit score?
Yeah.
Facts. You can tell me all kind of celebrity stuff. You can't even tell me if you have a business plan.
Facts. Yeah.
You can't tell me what your goals are.
Yeah.
Stop trolling and start growing.
Love it. Listen, y'all, I need y'all to tap in. Byron Hopkins. Listen, so I'm going to do something special as well for just you insiders.
Okay.
Mental health is a lie. Listen, I'm going to put a link in the description. I am giving, so I'm gonna buy 100 copies myself.
Okay, let's go.
Right?
Hold on.
And I'm going to give away 100 copies free. Ooh. All you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. So
okay.
I'm going to give you the book, right? I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to give you the book, but you have to pay for shipping and handling. Hit the link below, right? And it's only the first 100. You'll get a copy of Byron's book, Mental Health is a Lie. And then you're going to get all the gems plus more because we just had a session here. Like if y'all didn't get what just happened here, I'm talking about this is like Tony Robbins level, type of information that you just got here. So make sure y'all tap in. Again, where can the people find you?
So Byron Inspires Growth on everything. You type that in for my website for everything. Byron Inspires Growth. If you don't know how to spell inspires, it's okay. Byron Inspires Growth. I promise you will be okay. We are here together. We are healing as a unit, as a tribe, as a world, as a country. We're here. And I'm going to do something special. If Ash is buying 100 books, I'm going to sign them.
Let's go.
I'm going to sign them. I'm going to do something even more special for like the first 10 people, but I'll let that be a surprise.
Let's go. Let's go. All right, y'all. Look, action takers and money makers, hit the link in the description. We are closing out the vault. Another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet.
Let's go.
Make sure you follow us on all social media platforms at Inside the Vault. Go visit our website, InsideTheVaultShow.com. Me, I am Ash Cash. Make sure you visit me, IamAshCash.com. Follow me on all social media platforms at I am Ash Cash. I will see you next time. Same time. Oh, no, matter of fact, don't forget, join the abundance community, TheAbundanceCommunity.com. We'll see you next time. Same time, same place, in God's will.
Let's go.
Peace.